Call the meeting to order of the Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Go with the Huntley meeting. Believe everybody is present. You want to make sure everybody's present?
Yes, thank you, Mary. I confirmed all your trustees are present. Your department heads, Chief Porter, Kathy Haley, Charlie Nordman, Attorney Cowan, and Lisa are all on as well.
Very good. Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for the May 14th Virtual Village of Huntley Board Meeting. Pursuant to Governor Pritzker's Executive Order Number 2020-07, COVID-19, Executive Order Number 5, Governor Pritzker has suspended certain rules of the Open Meetings Act. Specifically, the executive order permits remote public hearings. In the light of the current COVID public health emergency and the prohibition of public gathering of 10 or more, the village board has chosen to conduct the board meeting remotely. All public comments received prior to 5 p.m. today will be put into the record under public comments. All members of the public are now asked to mute their phones. Village trustees, do not mute your phones. So, while we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get into the special presentations, I'd just like to have a moment of silence in honor of Mrs. Shirley Becker. Charlie's wife passed away April 9th. Shirley Gamel, Jim's wife, was passed away 4/27/20. And Mayor Aaron Shepley of Crystal Lake, who passed away 5/4/20. So if we could have a moment of silence, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. We've got a couple of special presentations. First one is Proclamation National Police Week, May 12th through the 18th, 2020, honoring the Huntley Police Department and law enforcement personnel nationwide. National Police Week, May 10th through May 16th, 2020. Whereas there are more than 900,000 law enforcement officers serving in communities across the United States, including the dedicated members of the Village of Huntley Police Department. Whereas since the first recorded death in 1791, more than 20,000 law enforcement officers in the United States have made the ultimate sacrifice and been killed in the line of duty. Whereas the men and women of the Huntley Police Department have made the commitment to provide upstanding an unequal dedication in serving and protecting Huntley residents, businesses, and visitors. Whereas the Huntley Police Department sponsors community events and services such as Bike Huntley, National Night Out, Citizens Police Academy, Neighborhood Watch, Police Explorers, and LED The Way, just to name a few. Whereas the mission statement of the Village of Huntley Police Department states, with crime prevention and law enforcement as our cornerstone, the Huntley Police Department is committed to providing professional service through a well-trained staff, working with the community and other departments and agencies to maintain a safe, friendly village. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed on behalf of the Village Board of Trustees, I, Mayor Charles H. Sass, hereby request all residents to publicly salute the service of law enforcement officers in our great community in all of our communities across the nation, dated this 14th day of May 2020. And we've got one other one. What's that in the background? Somebody muted something or turned the TV or radio off or whatever, but if it's from the public, mute your phones. Second proclamation is Village of Huntley National Public Works Week, May 17th through the 23rd, 2020. Whereas public work professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to the public health, quality of life, and well-being of the people of the Village of Huntley. And whereas these infrastructure, facilities, and services could not be provided without the dedicated efforts of public work professionals who are engineers, managers, and employees at all levels of government and the private sector who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting our nation's transportation, water supply, water treatment, and solid waste systems, public buildings, and other structures and facilities essential for our citizens. And whereas it is in the public interest for the citizens, civic leaders, and children in the Village of Huntley to gain knowledge of and to maintain a progressive interest and understanding of the importance of public works and public works programs in their respective communities. And whereas the year 2020 marks the 60th annual National Public Works Week, sponsored by the American Public Works Association, be it now resolved, I, Charles Sass, Village President, do hereby designate the weeks May 17th to the 23rd, 2020 is National Public Works Week. I urge all citizens to join with representatives of the American Public Works Association and government agencies in activities, events, and ceremonies designed to pay tribute to our public works professionals, engineers, managers, employees, and to recognize the substantial contributions they make to protecting our national health, safety, and quality of life, dated this 14th day of May, 2020. So, Chief and Tim, extend our thanks to your employees. They do a great job. Keep up the good work. So,
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, move on to public comments. Lisa's going to read, I think we have five or six public comments that she's going to read into the record. Lisa?
Thank you, Mayor. First comment is from Michael Thompson. With Governor Pritzker continually moving the end date for his shelter-in-place executive order, there is no telling when our local businesses will be able to operate. Safety and the well-being of all Huntley residents is a priority. There is a very large portion of McHenry County residents who feel that those who are at risk should remain sheltered, while those who choose so should be able to exercise their God-given rights to provide for themselves and their families. We have no faith in the governor. We know his true allegiance is with the Chicago machine. When will our elected officials in Huntley stand up and say enough? Next comment is from Phil Poliak. Please open up Huntley. We still have a choice to stay home. This is a free nation. Let the choice be made by us, not one governor. Thanks, Phil Poliak. The next comment is from Sean and Leslie. Sharing my support for the mayor and trustees of the Village of Huntley to reopen our town as soon as possible with precautions and guidelines in place, even if it is without the permission of the governor. Huntley should not be included in the region we have been designated in. Our village and surrounding towns around us need to advocate appropriately for our communities and their residents, since it has become apparent that our governor will not. Our community can and will band together to support each other. The next comment, excuse me if I mispronounce this name, Danae Zeitz. According to the MCDPH website, which I will include in this email, it reports 42 cases in Huntley as of today, 5/12/20.
Oh, I got it.
We should be able to open back up. Our small businesses are dying, and our people need to go back to work and need to socialize again. The immediate surrounding towns have very few numbers as well. Lake in the Hills, 74, Algonquin, 46. Population fine for those three towns is 87,373. We have 162 cases, so that makes it 0.001854% of our population. We're shut down. Why? Enough is enough. We are not Chicago, we are nowhere near Chicago, and yet we are being held hostage by the unconstitutional tyrant of a governor who doesn't care at all about us. We need to take our own county into our own hands and do what is best for our community. Please take Mr. Frank's letter into consideration and let our business open. Thank you, Danae Zeit, Lake in the Hills. And the final comment from Danny Athens. Open Huntley, to whom it may concern. I appreciate that Huntley, along with McHenry, is taking steps to opt out of J.B. Pritzker zoning. I am not a numbers person, but I understand that our numbers of infection and death are low. I do not hold a medical degree, but I understand that the vast majority infected with COVID recover completely. I do not hold an economics degree, but I understand that the small businesses around the state in our very town of Huntley are being ravished by this lockdown. I am not a psychiatrist, but I understand that the mental toll that this lockdown is taking on children and adults alike is devastating. I understand this firsthand because my children and I are suffering. As a wife of a paramedic, I understand that my family is more than exposed to our fair share of germs, as are the families of police officers, doctors, nurses, etc. Keep in mind that the numbers of our community who hold those aforementioned roles have been shopping in your stores, ordering pickup, pumping gas, and frequenting the bank as you and yours have been doing all this time. There's more exposure going on than you think, regardless of stay-at-home orders. With that being said, our at-risk community has been spared. Respectfully, we've all sheltered in place for 2 months for the at-risk community. We were expected to shift, adapt, and make changes we didn't want to. We did it. Our society cannot sustain if this order remains in place. So many families do not have an income and are suffering. I would gather that these citizens are considered just as at risk, but in a different manner. They're at risk of losing their homes, their health insurance, their savings accounts, and consequently the stability of their mental health. Our town and all of those in it will be affected negatively for years to come if we don't turn it around now. Apart from rezoning, which Governor Pritzker will likely dismiss, I kindly ask that you consider following the other counties in Illinois who are opening up despite the zoning procedures. The survival of our town depends upon it. Thank you for your consideration, Danny Athens. That concludes the public comments that were submitted prior to today's meeting.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, Chuck, I have a question.
Item for discussion.
Chuck, Harry, I have a question. Have you gotten any response from the letter that the mayor signed for Pritzker?
I have not heard. We had a meeting today, the MCAG Executive Board, and some were in attendance. I was trying to, by phone, and after 45 minutes of trying to, so I could hear something on the phone, just gave up on it and stuff. So I called Shayla and trying to get an update. I don't believe there was anything and stuff. I see that Pritzker's, that lady saying that it looks like the four regions can all move into phase three, but specifically regarding getting us out of the lumped in with Chicago, I think Pritzker made it pretty clear yesterday he wasn't considering doing anything like that, but haven't had an official yes or no, though, okay?
Okay, second question. What about the, is there an update on the sheriff not enforcing the two per boat rule?
I have not heard anything on that, so it's kind of ridiculous. You can take your family of four kids and a husband and wife and in the car, and you can drive to the boat, but then only two can get in the boat. It just doesn't make any sense, you know? So.
Yeah, I know, and he said he wasn't going to enforce it, and I just wondered if there was any feedback.
So I have not heard anything at all, so.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. First item for discussion, approval of the April 23rd, 2020 Village Board meeting minutes. Any additions or corrections? Somebody make a motion?
Tim, I made a motion.
I'll second it. Harry.
Second. Rita?
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Kanakaris?
Yes.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Trustee Pifko?
Aye.
Trustee Huft?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item B, approval of the approval of the May 14th, 2020 bill list in the amount of $302,182.58. About $142,000 is attributable to impact fees paid to other taxing bodies. For the sand and server project, and then Steiner Electric for the LED lighting program, and then payout to Patrick Engineering for the Kreitzer Road engineering study. So, anybody?
Huh.
Somebody got an upset stomach or what? Holy cow. So.
Holy cow.
Roll call. Any questions? Somebody make a motion?
Yeah,
motion
to approve.
Never mind. Second.
Dan and Rhonda.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Goldman.
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris.
Yes.
Trustee Leopold.
Yes.
Trustee Pifko.
Aye.
Trustee Hufft.
Aye.
Trustee Westberg.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item C, consider an ordinance granting relief for the wall signage for the new Shopko Optical 9940 Route 47. Charlie?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. As you stated, Shopko Optical will be locating in the tenant space in a new multi-tenant building located just north of Walgreens at the corner of Route 47 and Reed Road. They are requesting permission to install their prototypical sign, which measures 17 feet in width and 40 square feet in area. And they would like to maintain that consistency throughout their stores. As I stated, that is their prototypical sign and size for their sign. Sign ordinance allows 1 square foot of wall signage for each lineal foot of frontage for the tenant space. In other words, Shopko has a tenant space that is 25 feet wide, therefore allowing 25 square feet of signage. As I stated, they are requesting relief to allow a 40-square-foot sign, which is a 60% increase. They also have a sign on the rear of the building, which is 25 square feet and does not require relief. Should the board grant the requested relief, staff does propose that all future tenants also receive the relief to allow 60% additional wall signage consistent with Shopko Optical. This would provide consistency for the retail center. The staff does have two conditions of approval. We do recommend, should you vote positively on this, first being that the other tenant spaces within the retail center shall be permitted a wall sign to have an area of 1.6 times the lineal frontage of their tenant space, that's a 60% increase. And then the second condition is that no sign permits are approved as part of the submittal. They must obviously admit for a sign permit from the Development Services Department. So with that, the petitioner is requesting a motion of the Village Board for an ordinance granting relief for wall signage for Shopko Optical located 9940 Route 47. There are representatives from Shopko as well as the sign company on the phone should you have any questions for them. Thank you.
Board, have any questions for Charlie or Shopko?
Nope. Nico makes the motion to approve.
I got one question before addressed to Charlie. The remaining tenant units and stuff, are they all the same size on the front there, or are they different sizes or not?
I believe they all are consistent, yes.
Okay. That's all I needed. Okay, Nico made a motion.
Harry seconds.
Harry seconded. Roll call, please.
Trustee Kanikaris.
Yes.
Trustee Leopold.
Yes.
Trustee Pifko.
Aye.
Trustee Hoff.
Aye.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Reitz. Item D, ordinance granting relief for additional wall signs for the suites on Main Street, 11810 Main Street. Charlie?
Thank you again, Mayor. In this case, more sign relief. Embassy Builders, which is a residential construction company, is proposing to lease the entire first floor of the suites on Main Building, which is located at 11801 Main Street. Condition of signing that lease is that they are allowed to install a sign on that west elevation, which is the relief before you tonight. Additionally, Century 21 New Heritage, which is located just down the block at the corner of Woodstock and Main Street, is requesting permission to install a off-premise sign on the west facade of that building as well. The owners of the suites on Main Building in the two adjacent lots are Lisa Raza and Lynn Klein. They also own Century 21 New Heritage, again, which is that business just down the street. The suites on main building currently has one 15 square foot wall sign on the front facade. They are allowed to install a sign up to 25 square feet, so they are under the square footage for that suites on main sign that fronts on Main Street. They could also install a 25 square foot sign on Coral Street, but have chosen not to. Rather, Embassy Builders is proposing to install a 40 square foot wall sign on that west facade to gain visibility from Route 47. It would be illuminated with a gooseneck light fixture. Sign regulations do not allow for signage on the west facade of that building since it is technically an interior lot, so that would be a relief to install that 40 square foot wall sign on the west elevation. Also, as I mentioned, Century 21 is requesting permission to install a 28 square foot off-premise sign. Sign ordinance classifies off-premise signs as prohibited, therefore relief is required from the board to install the Century 21 sign on that west elevation as well. The staff is recommending two conditions of approval should the village board approve the request. First being that no sign permits are approved as part of the submittal. Again, they must submit a sign permit to the Development Services Department. And then second, the off-premise sign permit shall be valid for 1 year with automatic renewal at the discretion of the village board. And it can be rescinded by the village board on a case-by-case basis should you feel it necessary. So the action request in this evening is a motion of the village board to approve an ordinance granting relief for two additional wall signs on the west elevation of the suites on main building, which is located at 11810 Main Street. I do believe Randy Stevenson from Embassy Builders, as well as Lisa Razzo from Century 21, and also the property owner, are on the phone should you have any questions for them. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Charlie. Board have any questions to Charlie or to the petitioners?
Yeah, Mayor, it's JR. Is there any reasons why they might not put a second gooseneck up? But some of that lighting gets lost, obviously, and you might just see like MBAS. Once it's just lit up at night. So I'm not sure if they're open to it. I'd like to allow them a second gooseneck.
Anybody else have any feelings regarding that? Or?
Yep, Mayor, I do. The only thing I would suggest, too, is if they give thought to maybe painting that wall a different color to make that stand out a little bit better, too, than just that dark, deep red. You kind of lose it after a while, especially from a distance.
Harry, my comment is I'm glad to see something finally breaking up the monotony of that big red wall.
Yeah.
Remember the big Luigi sign that was on there for years?
Yep.
I remember.
This is Nico. I'm okay with both signs, but are they both going to be illuminated with gooseneck like JR was stating?
As proposed, there's just one gooseneck fixture over the Embassy construction sign. I don't know if that's going to illuminate the Century 21 sign as well. Maybe Steve or Lisa could jump in here.
Yeah, Nico, real quick. I was just suggesting two goosenecks over the Embassy so it just shines down all the way down the whole wall. I wasn't saying two goosenecks separate for each sign.
This is Lynn Klein.
Go ahead, Lynn.
This is Lynn Klein. Okay, I think that the suggestion for an additional gooseneck light is probably good. I kind of agree that one shining down isn't really going to totally illuminate the Embassy. And in the event that this does not light up both signs, I have no problem putting gooseneck signs over the Century 21 sign as well. Our goal is to have them lit, so however we have to do it, I think we have to do it.
Perfect. I think they both should be lit.
Yep.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Do you like them stacked on top of each other, or is there a reason for putting the one under the other, or would it make it look better and kind of even out the building if one was put somewhere further to the left? I'm just throwing that out. So is there any reason that they got to be stacked?
Well, we have a window there that's the hallway for the upstairs apartment. So I think that if they're not stacked, the other one would be down in between two windows. We can certainly lay it out that way and see how it looks.
I was just wondering, would it look better or all the way down to the
north
to the north and stuff?
Yeah.
Instead of
the north end of the building.
Does that look better?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Mayor. I mean, relay it out.
Do both the same size.
We kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, without measuring it, if there's enough to make them both the same size by putting it at the other end, but we sure can look into it.
Looks good.
Well, I think Lynn's got a great business in town there, and whatever she does, it looks great, so I'm pretty sure she's going to make it look good. So.
Oh, without a doubt. So, just what they did to the building, or the facade and everything is great. So.
Right. All right, so this is Nico. I make a motion to approve. You guys figure out one or two next.
Harry will second.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Trustee Piefko?
Aye.
Trustee Hoft?
Aye.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, item E, consider an ordinance approving a minor amendment to the final plan unit development for Pod 8A Phase 1 and for 17 lots in Pod 8A Phase 3 of the Talamore subdivision for new single-family products. Charlie?
Thank you again, Mayor. So in 2006, the Village Board adopted an ordinance which approved the final plat as well as the final PUD for what was Lennar's Pod 8A Phase 1 in the Talamore subdivision. That included 83 lots and is bound by Founders Field Boulevard to the east and Hadley Drive to the south. The final PUD approved in 2006 consisted of three model floor plans ranging in size from 2,937 square feet to 3,467 square feet. Lennar also owns the 17 vacant lots in the abutting Pod 8A Phase 3 to the west, which are subject to a 2013 ordinance that was approved then. Lennar is proposing to develop these 17 lots in conjunction with the 83 lots in Pod 8A Phase 1. There are no proposed modifications to the plats for these parcels. They're already platted, so they'll use the existing lots as they stand today. Lennar today is requesting approval of seven models ranging in size from 2,146 square feet to 3,237 square feet. Three of the seven proposed models have previously been built in Talamore, and all will include three-car garages as a standard feature. You do see in the staff report there is a list of the models. Again, two of the proposed models are ranch models. The remaining are two stories, and again, all have three-car garages. For reference sake, the home sizes in the approved adjacent pods, Pod 8B, which is to the south, and Pod 8A, Phase 2 and 3, which are to the west and southwest, those were both Ryland products. Those homes range from 2,652 square feet to 4,229 square feet in area. So that 2006 ordinance for the final plan unit development for Pod 8A, Phase 1, did provide specific architectural elements. Those are listed in the staff reports. Lennar is proposing models that meet these requirements with exception to one, and that's that requirement for at least one rear gable on the rear elevation. And that has been a deviation that's been allowed over the years, specifically Pod 6. Not all of those homes have a gable in the rear on the rear elevation. Similarly, Pod 4 also has several homes that do not have that rear gable. The other item they're requesting relief from is condition 4 of the 2006 ordinance, and that was regarding the requirement to install a 1.5-inch water service to meet the residential sprinkler requirements according to the specifications of the Huntley Fire Protection District. Obviously, the board at that time had approved or required sprinkler systems in single-family homes. That was rescinded in 2007. Lennar is requesting that condition be removed to prevent any confusion about whether a sprinkler system is required. We did the same thing in Pod 4, and the condition is, and Lennar agrees to continue to do this, is that they will continue to offer the sprinkler system as an option to all buyers. It will be required to provide an acknowledgement form along with the building permit indicating whether the buyer has chosen or declined the option for the sprinkler system. So the extra request in this evening is a motion of the Village Board for an ordinance approving a minor amendment to the final planned unit development for Pod 8A Phase 1 and 17 lots in Pod 8A Phase 3 of the Talamore subdivisions for a new single-family product. Rick Murphy from Lennar, as well as Scott Gerard from Lennar, are on the phone should you have any questions for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
I got a question there. It's Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
I would like to see on Weltzien Street, that's the 17 lots that abut up to Pod 8A Phase 3, and anything that's on Hadley that's across the street from Pod 8B. Anything that on is those perimeter, if we could do those in anything that's a Galveston and above, that way those existing homeowners that are across the street, there's some continuity with the folks being two-story homes, and then whatever they do on the in the middle, if they want to do the one-stories, that's fine. I'd like to see the continuity on the streets across from each other be the same, if that would be something to be looked into possibly.
You're saying what model to what model, Tim, did you say?
If it's on, if it's across the street directly from Pod 8A or Pod 8B, I'd like to see the two-story of the Galveston or above on,
okay,
on the perimeter. That way it kind of blends in with what's across the street square footage-wise and being a two-story. And then whatever they want to do on the inside of 8A Phase 1, if they got, you know, the single-story ones in there, I don't mind. I just want to see, I'm just trying to protect the neighbors that bought with the 2,600 and above, because it kind of looks contiguous, if that makes sense.
So you're saying from 2,600 square feet on up. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just on the perimeter, yeah.
Right.
Hello. Hi, this is Rick Murphy here from Lennar.
Yep.
Is this a good time to respond to that?
Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Mr. Mayor, members of the board, thank you for your cooperation and help with Pods 4 and 5. I understand the comment, and I wanted to bring a couple things to your attention. One thing is our ranch home is actually a premium product. The price of construction and sales are much higher than a two-story home. For example, if you look at the Matisse that we're selling in Pod 4, that average selling price is $395,000. It actually brings up the average home selling price in Pod 4 about $15,000. Pod 4, to remind you, is an average square footage of 2365 to 3130. So even with that range, it's a higher product. And as far as footprint goes, obviously with a ranch product, you're much higher in footprint on the ground. Consequently, the basement area is much bigger. So while it seems like it's smaller, it really isn't, because if you count in basement space, and you could easily get a full basement and getting your square footage livable space in that building up to almost 4,000 feet. So, and the other thing I bring to your attention is ranch home demand is exploding. The market is different than what it was. The Adams is actually a derivative of one of our most popular models. Yeah, the difference is we've added a powder room to it, so we've even enhanced that model. We sell a substantial amount of this. It's a very livable space. I wish you could go inside and look at it, because I don't know if any of you have gone through. We don't model it, but it's a beautiful home. And I just want to say that I don't think it's a difference in quality or standards. You know, Lennar has maintained the standards in Talamore throughout. We've worked with Charlie and our architect. Charlie and our architect and I talked yesterday about the project. So, honestly, as far as the financial goes, if we lost this big of a segment, and there must be 30 lots, 30 home sites in that area, it would be devastating for the financials on the project. So I'll ask if you could reconsider that request.
I was just asking the question, so that's fine. Like, if I just wanted to bring it up to the board.
No, thank you. It's obviously, I appreciate your viewpoints. So thank you.
Yeah, your explanation makes sense, but somebody driving by and then looking at it one side with appears to be bigger, you know, the two stories, and then the other ones with this ranch and stuff. That's what they're seeing. They're not hearing the whole the explanation.
I understand, and that's another reason why we. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I cut you off. That's the other reason we decided out of the box without even talking to the village or anything to go with the three car garage. You know, one thing for their toys and the livable space, keep cars and toys. And the ranch home, I'll still say, is a huge footprint. The cost of construction is big. Like I said, those ranches are going to bring up the average selling price just because of the popularity of those homes.
Yeah, hey, Rick, I'll jump in real quick. I'm Scott, and I'll just let you know that the Adams are really the Ridgefield derivative. You know, that did about 90 sales for us last year throughout 31 communities. It is a major product in our world, and to be limited on that product, and quite frankly, the Matisse at 30% of the subdivision is really painful, and quite frankly, you know, as Rick said earlier, it's really going to change the financials on that. We would be putting ourselves at in a less opportune area without having two ranches. Most communities that we're doing now, we're putting in three because it's that popular of a plan. Here we did the two. I know we still have the Andari product, but that's running out. And what we're seeing in Woodmore, which is in Crystal Lake, is that, you know, we're still selling a ton of ranches even with the Andari product. The younger families are moving into those. So if you drive through there, you'll see a tremendous amount of ranch homes. So again, it's very vital to what we do in this market today.
I'd like to jump in. This is Rhonda. I just think that we should leave your plans alone as you came up with them, because I live on a street in Sun City. My house is 3,300 square feet and I have no basement. Across the street, there's a 5,000 square foot house. I don't care that someone has a huge house and mine is not across the street. I think that keeps it from a cookie cutter look. So the other thing I want to compliment you on is giving people the option to have sprinkler system. I happen to have it because this house came in under before the village board pulled that requirement. And I'm glad I have it because you know, psychologically, it just makes me feel better. Plus it is savings on my State Farm insurance. So I'm okay with your plans.
JR, I know you got a concern about one of the elevations, and so do I. Go ahead.
Yep, both the Adams and the Matisse, I'm not a fan of the elevation D. The roof line is too flat and too plain vanilla for me, but otherwise the rest of them look good. So that it's just those two models, Adams and Matisse, elevation D. If that could be just removed from the options, that'd be great. Otherwise, I do like that ranch. And how much is that Matisse, elevation G? I need a ranch soon. My knees are giving out like Mayor's.
You know, we're anticipating, pod A to jump well over 400 here, with the addition of that three-car garage and everything else. But I'm with you. I've had multiple knee surgeries in my life. I bought a ranch, and it was the best thing I ever did.
I was being facetious. But, yeah, the elevation D for both those models, I'm not a fan of. Just they're a little too plain vanilla for me. I love G. I think if you just offered G and H, that'd be awesome. But otherwise, thanks for finishing this off. This has been a long time coming, and we need to get this completed. So I do applaud your effort.
I would make it clear it wouldn't be possible without the help of the board.
What he's talking about with the elevation D? It's ridiculous looking, so I can't imagine anybody even buying one like that.
I'm not going to fall on my sword for elevation D. So if it's that big of an issue,
eliminate it.
Okay.
Eliminate D, and then what was the other one on the Matisse too?
Same elevation D for Matisse.
Yeah, that's fine. We can agree to that. That's fine.
Take those two out, and you're okay.
Yep.
Anybody else
we're fine
okay
doing
with
that.
It?
Yeah, Harry here.
I have a comment.
Hey, Eric.
Chuck, I have a comment. You know, I've been traveling from Square Barn on Bunker Hill over to Randall Road a lot, and there's all those homes through there are mixtures of two stories and ranches, and
right.
And I don't see any particular problem with mixing them up. So
that's right.
I too would like to thank the developers for helping us out to get those places built. And I would agree with the dropping of the two elevations, but the rest of it would be fine with me.
Well, we had a first tonight. Harry and Rhonda agree on something, so.
you might have to wait a long time for the next one.
Yeah, that's because we can't see each other either.
Hey, Mayor, I'll throw one more out there. I'll throw one more out there for you. I don't have any comments.
Hey, there's a first.
Okay.
All right, let's move forward.
Hold on, this is Nico. I got a question, Mayor.
Yeah.
I agree with everybody, get rid of elevation D, but can I, one question. Are all these windows wrapped with the 1x4?
Yes, they are. It's a 5-quarter trim. Smart trim. This is
so they're all wrapped, front, sides, and back? Because it looks like the sides and rears look like they have it, and the front kind of doesn't look like it. I don't know.
They did. Actually, that was one of the things Charlie and I talked about because that was Charlie had us resubmit on the ones that we came in from our site. And we added that.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. That's great. Houses look much better with wrapped windows.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Anything else?
Motion to approve.
Good.
Second, Nico.
John, is that you?
Yep, that was me.
And who seconded it? Nico?
Yeah.
We got that, Rita? Roll call?
I do. Thank you, Mayor. Trustee Pifko?
Aye.
Trustee Hoft?
Aye.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Canikaris?
Yes.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Rita. Okay, item F, resolution authorizing payment of $20,000 to the Association for Individual Development Contractual Services for the period January 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. Chief?
Thank you, Mayor. Just for the sake of background, tonight we have our annual contract with Association for Individual Development, also known as AID. AID serves a very important role for our department. They're on call for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They assist us on serious matters such as death notifications, incidents involving serious injuries or trauma, critical incident debriefings. They work with us on ongoing neighborhood disputes, mental health issues with adults and adolescents as well. They work with us on domestic violence cases and follow-ups and also on senior service referrals and issues. The police department has contracted with the Association for Individual Development since 2014. We've really worked with various configurations with them. However, in 2019, we decided to team AID up with our CRT officer, Officer Rosilla. They actually work out of our building 1 day or 2 days a week. We've seen a lot of success with that program. They sit down, they work with a lot with the public. Many times we get issues where either somebody's struggling with a mental health case with maybe a child or a domestic violence follow-up. And they've been a real success story for us, and it's worked out really well. This year's budget includes the $20,000 for Police Department Victim Services. So with the action requested tonight, we'll be looking for a motion of the Village Board to authorize the payment of $20,000 to the Association for Individual Development for Contractual Services for the period January 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
I've got one.
The
dues, the amount due and stuff, how is that? Is it calculated?
Initially, there was an increase this year. It was part of a pilot program between us, Cary, and McHenry County Mental Health Board. Also was paying a portion of the contract. Towards the later half of 2019, the funding was cut from the McHenry County Health Board. So our price did, our share did go up substantially. We've had some internal discussions, and we felt that for the services that we get, you know, we felt that it was well worth the $20,000.
So what did it increase from?
It went from, I believe, 10 to 20 in 1 year. And with the funding from the McHenry County Health or McHenry County Mental Health Board funding reduction.
So like Cary pays $20,000 into?
I think they might only be in Cary one day a week, but I'd have to confirm that. But they're with us 2 days a week, and then they work out of the office a third. But they're also on call, so we can call them after hours as well. We have them quite a bit.
Any other questions of the chief? Or
Was Officer Hooten or Sergeant Hooten involved with this originally, Chief Porter?
She was. She worked to get this program up and running. Right now, it falls under Sergeant Sullivan, but really Officer Rosilla works pretty much as a team with Megan, our law enforcement caseworker. So she's really the point person. And actually, we've got a number of officers that are trained in crisis intervention, and they also work quite a bit with Megan.
I have a question.
Is there anyone available through McHenry County that Linda is on and stuff and involved?
I'm sorry, Mayor. Can you repeat that?
Isn't there one out of McHenry County? And I think Linda Hooten's involved with it in terms of
that's the CAC
situations and stuff like this, isn't there?
That's more the CAC for victims of sexual assaults or sexual abuse and violence against children. So they do the forensic interviews. That's the group that Linda was affiliated with or is affiliated with.
Okay.
And there's some funding concerns there as well.
Chief Porter.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I just want to have one last question to Chief Porter. Sure. Isn't there overlap then between the other group and this group? To me, it sounds confusing.
The CAC more is for your more serious, say we get a victim who is an alleged victim of a sexual abuse, the CAC will actually do the forensic interview of the child. The same thing if it's a very serious physical abuse involving child abuse, typically the CAC will do that. This is, we get a lot of cases, say for example, we go out to a residence two or three times for a domestic violence case, or it could be a verbal domestic where we're going out to the same house multiple times. This group will try and work with the parties involved and try and come to a resolution. They will also work, say you have a domestic battery victim, like a spouse. They will work with us on order of protections and things of that nature. So the responsibility of this group is a lot more broad than the CAC. The CAC is more for a criminal investigation, typically involving a child.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Anybody else?
No, sir.
Somebody want to make a motion then?
Motion approved, Nico.
Second, Tim.
Second, Rhonda. Whoop.
I think I heard Tim second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Hoft?
Aye.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris?
Yes.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Trustee Pifko?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item G, resolution to express official intent regarding certain capital expenditures to be reimbursed from proceeds of an obligation to be issued by the Village of Huntley, McHenry, and King Counties, Illinois. Kathy?
Thank you, Mayor. The fiscal 20 budget includes several major capital projects within the downtown TIF district. These projects associated with the proposed passenger rail expansion include funds for engineering and design services for the station and associated improvements such as parking lot expansion and stormwater management. Other projects include the Caddy Building site improvements as well as streetscape improvements along South Church Street. The estimated total cost of these projects is $4.2 million. This reimbursement resolution would authorize debt up to this amount, but would allow a lesser amount of debt to be issued depending upon available funding. With the current COVID-19 pandemic situation, staff is monitoring and evaluating the potential revenue that may be available to pay toward any future debt issuance associated with these projects. In order to continue moving forward with parts of these projects without waiting to determine the full impact of the current situation, the reimbursement resolution is proposed so that engineering work being done now, as previously approved by the board, would be eligible for reimbursement from any future bond proceeds. This reimbursement resolution sets the stage for a future bond issuance if the village chooses to move forward with any of the projects identified in the description in Exhibit A of this resolution. At this time, it is anticipated that a potential bond issuance in the amount of approximately $1 to $1.5 million would be considered to complete stormwater management improvements to serve the Caddy property. This resolution does not obligate the village to issue debt. If bonds are issued, bond proceeds must be allocated to reimburse the original expenditure within 18 months after the latter of the date of the original expenditure was paid or the date the project was placed in service or abandoned, but in no event more than 3 years after the original expenditure was paid. In follow-up discussion with the Village Board on February 27th, options for refinancing existing debt included refinancing the existing 2015, which is the downtown improvement TIF debt, and the 2017, which is the wastewater upgrade debt certificates, with no new debt at this time. However, new debt could be issued at a later date, and the reimbursement resolution will allow for bond proceeds to be used to reimburse costs incurred prior to the bond issuance. Or refinance the existing 2015 and the 2017 debt certificates, extend the payment timeframe for the downtown improvements to the end of the TIF, which is 2037, and issue new debt in the amount of approximately $1.5 million for stormwater management improvements for Caddy. Or refinance the existing 2015 and 2017 debt certificates, extend the payment time frame for the downtown improvements to the end of the TIF, and issue new debt in the amount of $4.2 million for the various public infrastructure improvements in the village, including infrastructure improvements in the downtown TIF district, replacement, repair, and improvement of sidewalks, streets, curbs, gutters, and parking lots, and utility water and sewer system and stormwater improvements. Based on an analysis completed by Bernardi Securities, the village could maintain the same or somewhat reduced annual debt payments with the additional debt in the $1.5 million range if the debt for the 2015 downtown improvements payment timeframe were extended to the end of the TIF and refunded at a lower interest rate. Per Village Board direction regarding the proposed options, staff would bring forward authorization to proceed with the refinancing option and any approved new debt at a future meeting. This evening, action being requested is a motion of the Village Board for a resolution expressing official intent regarding certain capital expenditures to be reimbursed from proceeds of an obligation to be issued by the Village of Huntley, McHenry, and Kane counties in Illinois. I do have Bob Vail from Bernardi Securities and Kyle Harding from Chapman and Cutler on the phone this evening to help answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Now, this is just to get reimbursed and stuff. We're not doing any action to borrow any money tonight and everything. The $1.5 million is for the off-site retention of stormwater, which we're possibly looking at buying, purchasing some land and taking the water there. No matter what happens with the Caddy building, if it gets redeveloped, if it gets torn down or whatever, something still has to be done with the water retention. So still plan on moving forward, working on that, because we've got to have it no matter what. The other, the 4.2 that Kathy said would be for improving downtown, you know, the curbs and gutters and the sidewalks and all that. And but again, we're not borrowing, not looking for any approval of borrowing any money tonight. So any questions or comments, Kathy or Bob?
Harry, I have a question.
Yeah, Harry.
How do we get to the $1.5 million? Do we have an engineering estimate on that?
Yeah. Christopher Burke came up with that, okay?
And does that include anything other than stormwater, like any parking lot or curbing or anything?
No, it'll be running and includes, you know, purchasing of land and everything, and then running the line on Mill and Myrtle across Grove, and if we can secure land over there to the east, so the southeast of the Caddy property. So just strictly to handle the water. And I think it may be, did it include to redo those streets, Kathy? I can't remember.
Tim
on the phone? Tim?
Yeah, Mayor, this is Tim. Yeah,
go ahead, Tim.
We would run the storm sewer, as you said, Mayor, from the Caddy site, east on Mill, south on Grove, and over to Myrtle. Yes, that the cost estimate does include redoing the streets in those areas, grinding overlay so that those streets would be, you know, new.
Right. And would have the curb and gutter like the rest of the streets then too, right?
Along Main Street, the curb and gutters. Now, Grove currently has a V-shaped type curb that we would maintain. Those are like 10 years old. But Mill would have all new curb and gutter.
Yeah, but Myrtle and Grove, we were talking about improving them because they don't have anything down there further to the south.
Where there's no curb and gutter, we would put in curb and gutter, Mayor. But the otherwise, a good stretch of those have that concrete V-shaped curb and gutter. We can't put in the barrier curb in some of those locations just due to drainage and things.
Any other questions or comments for Kathy or Tim or Bob, the financial wizard, the Wizzo? Nobody has any questions?
Mayor?
No.
Mayor?
Yeah.
So part of what we're looking for tonight also is the consensus to move forward with that second option to bring back refinancing of that debt, stretch it out, and look at new debt at some point in the future.
Oh, okay. So to redo the 2015 and 2017, and then the 1.5, you're saying?
Yeah. Is that the consensus of the board, how they would want to move forward?
To bring it back at a future date?
Yeah.
I like that.
Doing that? Oh,
we're good.
All right, get it done.
So that'll come to a future meeting, and then tonight it's just approving this resolution, the reimbursement resolution.
Right, that's all that is tonight. We're not borrowing any, looking out to bond out any monies.
Right.
Motion to approve.
Sorry, second.
John and Harry, roll call, please.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris?
Yes.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Trustee Pisco?
Aye.
Trustee Hoft?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, item H, transmittal of the first quarter of year 20, fiscal year 20, financial and investment reports for the Village of Huntley. Kathy?
Thank you, Mayor. First quarter ended March 31st, 2020. The three largest sources of revenue continue to be property tax, sales tax, and income tax, which is part of the state shared revenue. Property tax revenue does not begin to come into the village until the second quarter of the fiscal year and accounts for about 35.9% of general fund revenues. Revenue collections for the first quarter of fiscal 19 were showing at about 12% collection rate, as our fiscal 20 collection rate through March 31st of 2020. Sales tax has a three-month lag from the time the sale occurs and when the village receives the money from the state. Therefore, in this fiscal 20 report ending March 31st, January revenue, which was collected in April, is the only month appearing on the ledger for the first quarter. This 1 month of revenue totals $220,345 versus $230,133 for the same time period last year, or about a 5% decrease. Income tax currently is outpacing fiscal 19 receipts. However, it is slightly behind Illinois Municipal League projections for the fiscal 20 budget year. The first quarter for fiscal 20 actual dollars are at 24% of budgeted dollars instead of the expected 25%. Local use tax is trending in ahead of budgeted parameters at 30.54%. At this first quarter, 25% is the expectation for revenue receipts compared to the budget dollars. Original projections from the Illinois Municipal League, or IML, indicated local use tax continuing to increase. Telecommunication tax revenue, like sales tax revenue, has a three-month lag from the time the tax is remitted to the state and the revenue is received by the municipality. Therefore, in fiscal 20, January revenue, which was collected in April, is the only month appearing on this report. This 1 month of revenue totals $35,255 versus $40,897 for the same time period last year. Both police fines and fees and building permit revenue are trending ahead of the first 3 months from the same time period last fiscal year. Video gaming revenue was trending in ahead of budgeted parameters for January and February. However, due to the COVID-19 crisis, video gaming operations were suspended effective March 16th of 2020. The fiscal 20 March revenue came in at about $8,378 versus $17,682 in fiscal 19. Building permit dollars through March are well above budget at $128,868 through March. Overall, general fund revenues through March 31st, 2020 are trending in near budgeted parameters. While total collections show 12%, this does not include any dollars for property taxes and only includes 1 month of sales tax revenue. However, the impact of the COVID-19 crisis may have, it is unknown what the COVID-19 crisis may have on some of these large revenue sources such as sales tax and income tax. And we're starting to see that impact coming through in this month. So, general fund expenditures at the end of the first quarter for fiscal 20 are at 25.3% of the budget. Overall, the general fund is operating within the budgeted parameters. Water and sewer operating funds, the water and sewer revenues, which come from charges for service for water and wastewater treatment facilities, and are dependent on customer usage. At the end of the first quarter, water revenue is appearing to be slightly behind budgeted parameters at 20%, and wastewater revenue appears to be trending right at budget at 25%. However, this revenue stream is seasonal and should increase in the summer months when usage is higher. With the COVID-19 pandemic, it's unknown what's going to happen with water usage. It may actually increase for some residential communities, with school-age children being home more hours in the day than normal. However, with some of the businesses being closed, this could offset that increase. So we have yet to see what that impact is going to be. Overall, revenues, again, are trending in within budgeted dollars, and expenditures are trending in within budgeted dollars through March 31st, 2020. Also included is a revenue and expenditure report for all funds, budget versus actual, a cash and investment summary report, and then a detailed general ledger line item by line item for all funds. And I am happy to answer any questions.
Kathy, it's Rhonda.
Yeah. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathy. You did a good job there, and who knows what's going to happen. But a while back, you gave us the 2018 general fund statement of revenues, right? It was part of my village packet.
2018?
Yeah, it was 2018. I was just going to ask you for 2019.
I believe Trustee Goldman is referring to the 2018 Popular Annual Financial Report.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So the audit is wrapping up as we speak. So once we compile the CAFR, that's what the PAFR or the Popular Annual Financial Report is based on. So we have to have the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report created first. And then
okay.
we'll put that report together. So that is on our to-do list for the month of June, and you should see it hopefully late June or in July.
That had some very interesting statistics, and that's I just thought it would be nice to have last year's. But, okay, that's it for me.
Harry, well, am I right in saying that we couldn't do the 2019 because up to 2 or 3 weeks ago we were still charging money to it?
Correct. We closed those books for almost 4 or 5 months after the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Yep. And the auditors were in town. Well, they weren't in town. It was all done off-site, but they were here early mid-April.
Okay.
Wrapping it all up. Yep.
Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome.
So do you want a motion to accept that transmittal, Chuck, or what do you want to do with that?
Yes, please.
You do?
Mayor.
Wait.
Pass his bedtime.
Somebody go wake him up.
Nico. This is being recorded, Nico.
Okay, sorry, Harry. Well, we'll just wait here then. Harry, don't say a word.
I had it on mute, sorry.
Oh, you did?
You want to make a motion?
Right.
Okay, Harry will make a motion to accept the transmittal.
And Rhonda will second it.
Sorry about that. Roll call.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sitting here yelling and nobody's responding. Well, you didn't hear my comment about one of the good things that came out of with us cronies is I saved us from having to listen to Fred come and present the audit to us, okay? So you can thank me for that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Rita, we had a motion second. Do you want to have a roll call?
Trustee Westberg.
Aye.
Trustee Goldman.
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris.
Yes.
Trustee Leopold.
Yes.
Trustee Pifko.
Aye.
Trustee Hoft.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Beautiful. Village Attorney's report?
Nothing, Mayor.
Any questions of council?
None
noted, huh? Village Manager's report, Lisa?
Yeah, Harry.
I have nothing unless there's questions from the board.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Harry.
Has the Illinois EPA followed through with the increased requirement for discharge of wastewater into streams? Is that now law?
Tim?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to. We are currently working on the nutrient assessment reduction plan that you the board approved the engineering for earlier, and that's to assess the receiving streams to hopefully maintain that our 1 milligram per liter total phosphorus discharge is adequate and not require us to go to the 0.5 or even lower. So I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
Well, is that a requirement now, the EPA, or is that still just talk?
To go to the 0.5, it is part of the permit by 2030. But we're currently meeting 0.5 right now with the upgrades that we did a couple years back.
Okay.
However, the EPA could require it to go lower than 0.5. So the hope is that our stream study demonstrates that it doesn't need to be lower than that. So we're currently working on that. We hope to be complete within the year.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions, Lisa?
Oh. Mayor, I want to ask you that same question we talked about together. I don't know if you want me to bring it up now or under mayors or whatever, but I want to
about
see.
Regarding opening up some of the businesses?
Well, that is one concern. I feel like over 60 days is enough, but if we can open them up, I want to see what we could do legally to do some village-owned or leased property to set up some tents and tables.
Right.
So our restaurants and bars could continue serving food, takeout, and delivery, but at least they have an area to go to eat and consume liquor, beverages, non-alcoholic beverages. Now that
right.
The weather's turning, things are going to get a little crazy out here.
Yeah, I realize that. I was going to, under my time, I was going to ask all your trustees to, I don't know, you've probably seen some of what Woodstock's looking at, what McHenry has contemplating. Woodstock's appears, I don't know if they're, I wasn't at the meeting today. I hope to get the update on that if they're, and they haven't decided. They got another meeting next week and stuff, some of the stuff they're going to do. But I know Wayne Jett that drafted the majority of the letter that went down to Pritzker and stuff. He made the comment they're still planning on going by the rules that the governor sent down. Now Woodstocks are, it appears, a little bit outside that and stuff, but they haven't passed anything yet either. So, but you know, some people got some ideas about, you know, getting the business, and it's just not downtown. It's north and south. Anything east, and there's nothing west. So, but how we can handle this to get these small businesses up and going before they take the food. So,
well, I agree.
That's
Harry,
so,
I have a comment.
Yeah, Harry.
I think it's so discriminatory because, you know, restaurants like McDonald's and Panda Express and Burger King and Culver's, they do most of their business through drive-through anyhow, and this order that's come down from the state has just really discriminated against sit-down restaurants completely.
I agree.
I'd like to jump in for a second. Tomorrow's lead article, I posted this on Facebook, is going from the Northwest Herald, is dealing with the governor keeping us still in the Northeast sector, but talking about moving everybody to phase 3. It was the lead on NBC tonight, too, and that'll be probably in one of the major newspapers. So I think we need to just wait out until May 30th and see what happens and then start to move on some action. What's two more weeks?
But phase 3 doesn't do anything for our restaurant.
We're going to have a plan put together, Rhonda. So
yeah, I understand, but that doesn't. You can't do that over a phone, okay? That's
I'm not
tough.
Asking you to. I'm asking you to, if you got some ideas, to put it in an email to us here or whatever. And so when we have some of these discussions, we've got these, you know, your ideas and thoughts about doing something like that.
Well, then I think that should be asked of all the trustees, and I certainly will do that.
I've asked all the trustees to do it. That's what I was just doing. So,
Yeah.
Well, I must have missed that email somewhere. Okay.
I just said it now. Over the phone here.
Well, that's a different story.
Hey, Chuck, I have another question.
Yeah.
As JR and Nico are both small business restaurant owners, would it do you guys any good to have a limited number of people coming in, or would that be more of a pain than it's worth? Like if your capacity is 400, you'd say never more than 200 or something like that?
Well, from what I'm hearing, 25% occupancy for inside is really not, you know, if we got 20 tables and we only could use 5 tables out of 20, it ain't going to do any difference than what we're doing now. So
yeah.
My idea, I mean, if that's going to be the governor's order, I want to figure out a way for not only my places, and they're not in Huntley, and other communities that I expressed to the other mayors, we need more outdoor dining spaced accordingly, and even if it's village-owned or village-leased property, that we could change our ordinance and allow consuming alcohol on village property is what needs to happen, because we're not going to survive with these rules that are coming out. So that's what I'm asking for Huntley. I don't have a business in Huntley. I do not have a restaurant, but we have a lot of restaurants. So we need to figure out a way, sooner than 2 weeks, to just have a plan and so we could attack. That's all.
Yeah, and I stopped
consumption.
I stopped at Dairy Mart the other day, and you can't sit at the table, but there were 25 or 30 people just standing up eating their ice cream.
Right. It's ridiculous. You're outside. You should be able to eat outside.
Right, because even with phase three, correct me if I'm wrong, even when we go to phase three, that still doesn't open up the bars and the restaurants. That's phase four, correct? So that's why we need to do something now.
That's
right.
What our letter was to Pritzker. The only thing that we missed on this tracking and stuff, which involves just training some people, but all the other bullet points for phase four, McHenry County,
we're hitting.
Exceeds them and stuff like that. So,
Guys, I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert, but my idea, for instance, just for the square, for example, close down Main Street and Coral, let people just drive around, put up four tents, fence it off however you guys want, tables and chairs, and let all the
put it in writing.
Okay, but let the residents go in and support all the restaurants and bars and be able to go and eat their food and drink outside. Obviously, we can't serve the people, but at least they could feel like it's halfway normal.
There.
Well, what would you do then with restaurants like Brunch Cafe and Casa Romeo?
We're going to have to do some kind of lease agreement on their property in the parking lot or somewhere near and do the same effect. That's what we're talking about doing in Woodstock. The city.
I don't even know if that's legal, leasing stuff. So I'm not going to get into that. But
I don't know. But
in terms of downtown, there I don't have a problem blocking Coral and stuff. I have a problem probably blocking Main Street and stuff and putting all that traffic through all the residential areas and stuff. So,
all right. So people just have to drive or walk across with their food and drinks then.
Yeah. They walk into the park or walk into a tent if we were to do something like that, you know. So.
Well, obviously we can't go against the governor's order, right?
Huh?
We can't legally open up our restaurants or businesses, can we?
No.
Okay. So then we need to figure out a better move to stay in, to be legal, but also help our businesses. That's all.
Well, what McCog's trying to do with all the towns and the mayors is a unified front, and this is what we want to do, and stuff like that. And like I said, there's more strength in numbers, and everybody bought into the letter that was sent down and stuff, and all these other towns are looking at something similar maybe to what Woodstock's doing or whatever. So I think we put our thoughts together, and we'll pick up more from these other towns too, and like what Woodstock's doing, and McHenry's going to do something similar, but they're not going to go according to the guidelines set down by Pritzker, okay?
Yeah, but okay, Mayor, but I don't agree with that. I think it should be before stage four.
I'm just saying That's what McHenry's doing, okay? That's
yeah,
what he said,
right.
Okay?
Because right.
he initially started this up regarding, you know, the sidewalks and stuff like that. And, you know,
right.
Woodstock's taken it a step further, okay, as you're well aware, so.
Right,
so,
okay.
Well,
we should just brainstorm something and
put some thoughts into it. You know, it's like I'm thinking up at, like, Pub 47. You could rope it off like they used to do for Cinco de Mayo and stuff and
right,
have a small spot out there, you know, and,
right.
and things like that. So that's the type of stuff I want you guys to think about, and if you come up with some good ideas, you think, forward it here, and we'll compile it and go from there. So,
sounds good.
One last comment.
Yeah.
One last comment for me, Chuck. That's why I asked the question about the sheriff not enforcing the two in the boat. How about if all the mayors in McHenry County would get together and just say, we're going to open the restaurants for 50% capacity?
I'd be, you know, this is so political, I would be afraid of the ramifications that Pritzker could.
Right.
Can't put them all in jail.
Villages and towns and stuff like that. You've got our attorneys questioning doing something like that. You've got our insurance, you know, in terms of that, opening it up to potential liability to the village. So there's a lot of things to consider here. You know.
I understand. But
so,
maybe we could get some smart, hungry lawyer to figure out a way.
Well, Pritzker could pull all the liquor licenses, too. That's one thing he's holding as a weapon.
And it's
weapon.
BS because it's all unconstitutional anyway, so. But they got us over the barrel.
All right, let's brainstorm.
Okay. Enough on that, then?
Yep.
Yeah, we should do it sooner than later. The weather's going to turn, and I'm telling you, you guys are not going to like what you're going to see.
Nobody's done anything. Woodstock hadn't done anything yet, though, either, Meeker. So I know they're meeting Tuesday night again. So, you know.
I'm just trying to get us
working on it, so.
But when, you know, the health department tells me that McDonald's could be people eat their food in the parking lot, and they come to me and tell me they can't eat in my parking lot, so the health department doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know.
Well, they came there the one time and said it was okay, though, right? You were okay?
Well, just so they said the rules are they could pick up their food and take it to their house. And I said, what about McDonald's and Burger King and all the other fast foods? Well, then they said, well, they could eat in their parking lot. But they were just all confused about the rules. So I just want to be good for our Huntley businesses. And if we could help them in any which way, that's all I want to help them. That's it.
We all do. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, the meeting today with McTagg, I'll hopefully have an update tomorrow and send out what came out of the that meeting and stuff. I'm just going to throw out real quick here and stuff. I was going to call you guys, but I got you on the phone. I've been approached with the where Hanson Heating and Plumbing Building is and with the self-storage over there. Somebody was asking about if they were to tear down the building and put up more units there, self-storage, if the village was interested in that. I told them I'm not interested in it. We got more than enough self-storage. Plus, it's not even – back then, probably even before the zoning was allowed, now it's not a permitted use. It's a special use in manufacturing, and that's zone B2 up there. So if anybody's got any feelings, I was just – instead of calling everybody what your feelings are, I told them that we envision up there that whole area being, you know, regentrified. We'll use that word, you know. So sounds familiar, you know, starting at where Manny's is and heading north along that area. So,
yeah.
I don't know if anybody feels.
I agree. This is neat. Not a spot for self-storage.
Okay. So.
I agree. No self-storage there right on our main entrance to town.
Plus,
thank
we
you.
Have a new place, and I don't even think it's filled up.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like I said to him, I said, we already got enough self-storage. He goes, yeah, I agree, but it's just two more. Oh, you just tell me we got too much already, you know, so.
Mayor, this is JR. Real quick, I want to applaud your efforts for doing what you're doing with MCOG and trying to help our residents. We've received several phone calls, emails, text messages, and the verbals over the street. Huntley's choking. And keep up the good work. Fight for us. We'll tell you what we think is going to be good. But we need to help these businesses. They're struggling. So
I hear you. So
Chuck, you got a chance. Chuck, Harry, yeah. You got a chance to make national headlines. You could defy the order and open the restaurants and then go to jail for us. Every network would cover that.
No, we're not talking about that. But you know, I do appreciate McCaw getting together, and that's a great thing. And I know Nico is appreciative too. He asked me that he's in the McHenry as well. So whatever you guys can do and come up with, that'd be great.
Yeah, the only thing, Harry, I don't look good in orange, so they'd have to change the color, and then I would do it. So you know.
I'd buy you a navy blue jumpsuit.
You wouldn't be in there long, Mayor. They're releasing all the prisoners.
Yeah. I know. I see. Yeah, murder convictions and everything. So,
just give them what you're talking.
We got a couple more things here, okay?
Go ahead.
First is Village of Huntley extends our congratulations to the class of 2020 from Huntley High School, Marlow Middle School, and Heineman Middle School. We are very proud of all of you and this great achievement. We commend you and your families for your hard work. Most of you graduating from high school, we know the way the school year ended was disappointing to say the least. We are sorry you had to miss out on all the memorable events that go along with the end of the school year. We also know you are resilient and will find new ways to deal with the challenges we face with this global pandemic. As the future leaders of our community, state, and nation, we say to you, stay safe, stay strong. No matter where your future may take you, always remember Huntley, the friendly village with a country charm. Go Red Raiders. For those of you graduating from eighth grade, we know you have missed out on fun celebration and other activities. We know high school will be a different experience for you than it was for those graduating this year. We are confident you will also make your own way through these challenging times. We wish you all the best of luck as you take this step forward in your dedication. Go Mustangs, go Hawks. Okay, the second one, a certificate of recognition. The Village of Huntley Board of Trustees congratulates the Westberg family. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, I, Mayor Charles H. Sass, and the residents of our great community, wish to congratulate the Westberg family on the graduation of their daughter, Isabella, from Marlow Middle School, and the exciting Sweet 16 birthday of their daughter, Brianna, on the 16th, coming up here. Janet and JR have so much to be proud of watching their daughters grow up and accomplish great things. Congratulations, Westberg, dated this 14th day of May 2020.
Hear, hear.
And the third last one real quick. I also like to add a special shout out to Elizabeth Johnson, daughter of Dave and Amy Johnson, who graduated from Marlow Middle School as well. Congratulations, Elizabeth. Hopefully you're listening, Dave. Okay.
I am.
So the last thing I got here is the declaration of local state and emergency. This will be the fourth time we're going to be doing this. The initial one was March 17th. Then our next board meeting was the 9th. So we executed a new one, and then again on April 23rd, the old one expired, and we executed a new one. So as a result of that, the current declaration that we have from April 23rd expires May 14th. So we need to redo that declaration of emergency. Haven't spent any money, so... haven't declared anything anyway, so Any questions? Let me make a motion.
I move.
Move.
Second.
Harry and was Rhonda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Harry and Rhonda? Okay. Roll call, Rita.
Trustee Goldman?
Yes.
Trustee Kanikaris?
Yes.
Trustee Leopold?
Yes.
Trustee Pifko?
Aye.
Trustee Hoft? Trustee Hoft?
Wake up, Tim.
Sorry,
yeah,
to the Trustee Hoft.
Sorry. We're being recorded, Harry.
Trustee Westberg?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Any unfinished business? Any new business? No executive session? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Everybody's in favor. Thank you. Have a good evening. Stay safe.
Thank you.